Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Later this very week, it will be 5 years since the Chinese city of Wuhan was placed under lockdown following the outbreak of a little-known virus called COVID-19. And we know the world changed utterly in the days and weeks following that outbreak, when countries shut their borders and life as we knew it for so many of us came to a halt or changed. Now, in that time, the virus mutated and changed itself quite considerably. And recently, there have been conversations about why and how the disease seems to be becoming a little milder, as well as becoming associated with more gastro symptoms. So we wanted to look at all of this, and I'm joined now by Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College Dublin, Luke O'Neill, and Dr. Niamh Martin is here, who leads the laboratory team carrying out wastewater surveillance at UCD. Luke and Niamh, you're very welcome. Thank you for being with us. Okay. We're talking about COVID again, but it is really worthwhile, Luke, at this stage, because we're 5 years on now, aren't we?
It's striking, 5 years ago. Yeah, does it seem like believe. 5 years to
no,
you?
No, it certainly doesn't.
You and I were in those days talking a lot. Yeah, it's amazing. It's 5 years has gone by, you know. And the science has never stopped, remember. There's loads of people, including Niamh, though, are still working on this in my lab to some extent. And we're still studying it in various ways. Mercifully, of course, the pandemic is, you know, all but gone. And it has got less troublesome. There's no question about that now, you know. And one statistic I read recently, for instance, would be if you're in hospital now, the respiratory illness, only 10%. Is COVID. The rest is going to be things like flu and RSV. So just the burden on the healthcare system isn't there, which is
We've heard a lot from medics we speak to on the programme, also the HSE, who were warning a lot about flu levels over this last couple of weeks. And they always said to us, you know, as an aside, COVID levels are stable, which is why we wanted to talk to you about what the disease is doing and how it has changed or whether it has.
Well, it's a different virus. It's coronavirus, as you may remember, whereas flu is influenza. It's a very different virus entirely. The way it behaves, how our immune system sees it is very different. So never forget, even though the lungs are affected by both, the whole features of it are different, you know. Mm-hmm. And then it has mutated over time. And there's no doubt the major reason for being less troublesome, our immune systems are doing their job. With the vaccines, of course, that made a big difference. And then infection. And now the immune system evolved to fight viruses. And lo and behold, if you're infected now, there's a good chance you'll be kicked out by the immune system, is a great phrase I saw for most people. Now, clearly, there are vulnerable people as well. Never forget that. The older people should be vaccinated against it. Mm-hmm. But for the vast majority, healthy people, your immune system does its job and you don't even know you have it.
So we have found a way in the main to deal with this.
We have, yeah, just through our immune system. Mm-hmm. The virus has changed itself, of course, over time as well. And that's a very interesting thing to keep an eye on. And as Niamh and I were discussing earlier, it does seem to be in the gut a bit more. Now, that could be...
So how do we know this? And Niamh, maybe you would like to come in on this point.
Yes, yeah, so we know by... people presenting to obviously with their symptoms in hospitals. But there has been cases where people have had symptoms in their gut as well in the past. But it is still a respiratory illness as well. Our project actually looks at wastewater analysis, which uses sewage testing, which obviously it sounds worse than it is. But so obviously we would pick up... even when you have respiratory symptoms, you do shed the virus in your stool. So we do pick up parts of the virus and then we monitor the levels in wastewater from that. So we can't tell whether it's from your actually gut or from your respiratory system. So we just look at the levels.
So you're seeing the top line level in the population.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so we've been monitoring the levels in wastewater since 2021. So our project, it's funded by the HSE. So we're based in UCD, partnered with the HSE, NVRL, and all our samples are provided by Ishka Aaron. Mm-hmm. And we're ongoing, we have ongoing surveillance of the virus throughout the country.
So what can you tell us then about the levels and how they've changed over the time?
Yeah, so what we've seen over since 2021 when we started monitoring the levels, that the levels in wastewater do peak with clinical case numbers when they're reported. We've seen that COVID-19, it does peak multiple times throughout the year. So it does, in addition to winter peaks, it does have summer surges as well, which sometimes could be influenced by the introduction of new variants. This year, last year was the last summer was the last large peak that we observed in wastewater. This winter was the first time we haven't seen that huge significant peak, not yet anyway, and the levels in...
So probably what we can deduce from that is it's not a seasonal virus then.
Exactly, yeah. It doesn't seem to be behaving like influenza and RSV, that it just peaks once throughout the year. It could be impacted by, say, the introduction of a novel variant, or also by immunity levels, as Luke was saying there as well. So
can we talk a little bit more about the gastro element of this? Because what we're hearing is that the first signs of an infection now can often be diarrhea. Sorry about this now, we're talking about stools, diarrhea, but listen, it's reality, isn't it?
So you can't be squeamish,
no, you can't.
Medical matters.
Yeah. So what is going on there? We know?
What was fascinating was half of presentations now from the gut. So in other words, the symptom is diarrhea. Now that's a bit of a change, because previously it would have been coughing and respiratory.
Yeah, all up on the lungs.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one thing that's happened. And as I say, it could be the immune system protects your lungs, but doesn't quite protect your gut, and the virus now gets as far as your gut, and then you get diarrhea. That's one possibility. The second is, as you may remember, we had models on the telly, right? There's a thing called ACE2. The spike sticks into ACE2. That's how it gets inside cells. ACE2 is in your gut. Mm-hmm. So there was no surprise.
They were golf tees, weren't they?
Remember the golf tees? Exactly, yeah. they're worth a fortune, those models now. But it gets into your gut, latches onto ACE2 in your gut. So it's just like your lungs in a way. So that may be a reason why it's able to infect the gut and the immune system isn't quite able to stop it. Now remember, this diarrhea can be very unpleasant, but it's not as serious as your lungs failing. So hence, you might be seeing quite as much hospitalizations because diarrhea, unpleasant as it may seem, is a feature.
So can we say then that it's becoming something more like a norovirus, that type of thing, like a tummy upset?
Yeah, that's what some are saying, that it's becoming more like norovirus. Now, norovirus spreads through the fecal route. It means hand washing becomes even more important, by the way, if it is that route. Food preparation, that can be a source of norovirus. So they're watching this to see if it is turning in that direction. The evidence is slightly sort of plus minus on this, by the way, but some of the evidence is suggesting the gut is being affected.
And what do you read into the fact now that, as Niamh was telling us, it doesn't seem to be a seasonal thing?
That could be one reason, because if it's in your gut, remember, it'll spread any time during the year. If it's respiratory, it's mainly when you're indoors in the winter and you cough it out and you spread it that way. So this could give us more evidence. Mm-hmm. What I'd say as well, that it's good, Claire, you can help your gut, remember. And one big study has shown the virus will change the microbiome, which is all the bugs in your gut. And this is a big area of medicine, actually. And it disturbs the microbiome, and that might be causing some of the diarrhea. Now, the good news is you can help your microbiome. Probiotics can help, for example, those yogurts. Fiber in your diet can protect. And the study's actually showing this. A high fiber diet can protect against severe COVID. So again, that suggests something going on in your gut.
Right. So are you saying that we should all maybe look at what we're doing fibre-wise and probiotic-wise to avoid this thing taking hold?
Anyway, a good diet is good for you across lots of different situations. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, these recent studies are suggesting a high fibre diet is useful for COVID as it is for other things.
Right. So tell me what else you're seeing then when you're doing your work, Niamh, and examining the stools and getting the supplies from Ishka Éireann and so on. What else are you looking for?
Yeah, so our project, obviously we've seen the value of wastewater surveillance throughout the pandemic, and how that information, how much information we can actually get from something that's literally labelled as waste. We look at other viral pathogens as well, and we monitor for polio, but there hasn't been any detections for that, obviously, in Irish wastewater. We also look at influenza and RSV that are circulating at the moment. But a lot of illnesses... and public health concerns, they do leave a signature in wastewater. So you can actually measure a lot of other things as well. Wastewater surveillance is actually included in the revised Urban Wastewater Treatment Directive, which has now been enacted. So it's something that will be continuing. And our project is actually also part of an EU-wide project called EU Wish. And that's a collaboration between 26 countries. And one of the aims is to actually identify new targets to monitor with this surveillance method.
So is this one way, I suppose, of being more prepared now for the next pandemic that may or may not hit us, that we have all of these measurements in place where we can see
exactly
where these things are coming from?
Yeah, so the one thing we do know is that this virus, it does seem to change, it has been changing, and there are things obviously we don't know, but we do know that surveillance is key to be prepared. And this way of monitoring the wastewater surveillance is great because it's cost effective, it's non-invasive, and also it picks up things like asymptomatic cases and things like that. You don't have to rely on people coming forward.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And particularly with COVID as well, Luke, like people aren't getting tested, exactly, you know, yeah, in the yeah. way that they were at the peak mm. of this thing. So it's really useful to have this to measure it.
Well, to give Neve's Lab credit, Vim, who's the head of Neve's Lab, they've been world leaders in this, really. And Vim's been advocating for this for a long time. You know? Mm, yeah. COVID woke us up to how useful wastewater testing is, really. You know, and now it's becoming more routine, especially in the US. Isn't that really more than other places?
Yeah, yeah.
But even still in Ireland now, we've got this great service in UCD that's measuring stuff in the wastewater for us. Mm-hmm. And that will be the canary in the coal mine. Because you might see something unusual there. You might see an unusual strain of COVID is emerging. And then you might be able to act then to try to put the fire out.
There was a lot of talk about being ready for the next pandemic and what we had learned. I mean, has science, do you think, learned to any great extent from what we went through?
Disappointingly, everybody's saying this. The WHO are saying we're not prepared for the next one. We've got to really do better with pandemic preparedness. And the WHO are leading this to some extent. And they're going to announce in March, I think it is, a big sort of global sort of agreement around what to do, you know, in terms of when the next pandemic comes along. But it's a bit slow. I think inevitably, the way politics works, people forget about these things.
Yes, you just want to move on quickly, don't you?
It's understandable, I suppose, because there's a new emergency, but certainly there will be another pandemic. Mm-hmm. We're all agreed on that. I don't know when. It could be 5, 10, 15 years away. We'd be foolish not to learn from the last one and get ready for that. And wastewater is actually a key part of that.
It's a very useful thing to do. But just coming back then to COVID itself, I mean, you said that our immune systems have learned, the vaccines have helped with that. If you're somebody who has escaped COVID, though, over the last 5 years,
that's a worry. There's no doubt. If you have never seen the virus, now how that could be now, we don't know because it's been everywhere. But if your immune system is naive, it's like you were in 2020. You're at risk of severe disease then. Mm-hmm. And those people, if there are people who feel that they have never seen it, they should take the vaccine because that would help, you know, prepare their immune system should they see it. Mm-hmm. So that's an important aspect.
And given how it's played out now, what do you think the future of COVID is? Can we say at this point?
There's a good aspect here. There's a group of scientists think it's becoming more benign, and there's some evidence for this. And in fact, there was a pandemic in St. Petersburg in the late 1800s that looked like COVID and was troublesome. That turned into a virus called OC43, which infects us still as the common cold. So that virus turned into a common cold virus and became just, it could happen that COVID is going to head in that direction as well. And there's a reasonable amount of evidence to suggest that. So finally, it'll become another virus that infects us, that causes the common cold, mm-hmm. is where this seems to be going. But again, you need more evidence, having said that. But still, that's one direction this might go in.
Okay, well, the big worry this year has been flu. I mean, people have been absolutely knocked for six with flu, haven't they, over the last couple of weeks and months. And that's really where most people, I think, their thoughts are when they're worried about what might get them.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a vaccine for flu, and you would have heard Colm Henry on the radio this morning. If you're vulnerable, take the flu vaccine. Mm-hmm. That will stop you getting severe disease and keep you out of hospital.
So mitigate against it.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you both very much for coming in, Dr. Neve Martin and Professor Luke O'Neill. Now we're going to take a break. David Coleman is going to be with us after this with parenting advice.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.